The following podcast on the WDKX Podcast Network is
provided by Vision Automotive.
Check Your Health is a Thursday morning segment at 10 o'clock. We have a lot of fun, but we do talk about very serious topics. Dr. Sean Nelms here, who I'm very upset with. He has done this twice. He had like a book series, a little booklet series about himself. Didn't tell me. The next thing you know, the next day, I'm like, man, there's nothing but DKX photos in there.
Branding.
Had another award ceremony, didn't know about it. No. Man, that's twice you got me. Ain't gonna be a third, Dr.
Nelms. Well, I'm dry snitching because Robert Vickers wrote the article, so it's his fault too.
Man, miss you the last 2 weeks, boy. We have fun in here. And so I always love to see you guys, and I really am proud of what you've done in this community.
Yeah.
And discussed. You do not talk about yourself enough, but you got me twice where people have honored you, and you deserve honor. So it's a pleasure to have you in studio this morning. Now, you brought two ladies with you. Who do we have in studio for a check-in?
We have two amazing, amazing PhDs, two doctors from the University of Rochester, and both Rochester-raised.
All right.
And educated. Dr. Michelle Sanders and Dr. Tracy Terrence both work as assistant professors in Department of Family Medicine. Essentially, it's a department that supports the entire family with their health. And they are here to talk about health equity, mental health, and health literacy. It's very, very, very important that, you know, we think about being an educated community. We talk about that every single week. Mm-hmm. These are the two people who are like the teachers of the teachers. For those who are going out in the community and supporting our work, Dr. Sanders and Dr. Terrence are the individuals who we should be leaning into. You know, if we know better, we'll do better. And absolutely, today we're going to dive into how we should be advocating for ourselves, what questions to ask, and most importantly, which resources in the community should we consider when trying to connect with our healthcare professionals. Welcome, Dr. Sanders and Dr. Terrence.
Good morning, ladies. How are you today?
Good.
Pretty well.
Thank you. Good to have you here, WDKX in the Wake Up Club. So I was asking you, Dr. Sanders, when you say the words health literacy, what does it mean? Because I think I do, but I'm not quite sure. So can you tell me what health literacy is?
Sure. It's a relatively new term. It first started in the 1970s and then really took off in the 1990s. So when we think about literacy, generally, we think about people's, you know, ability to read, write, and understand written information. Mm-hmm. But health literacy is like, how do you take those things and use them in the healthcare system so that you can make best use of your healthcare? So how do you access information? How do you process and understand that information, communicate that with your healthcare provider, and then go out and actually use the information to better your health?
Okay. All right. So it's basically understanding what's happening and then using the system to help benefit you from what information you're given. So for example, somebody goes in and they have hypertension or they have high blood pressure, whatever it might be. The health literacy would be like, okay, you have this. These are the steps we need to take. And this is step one, step two, step three.
So it would be like, okay, what is high blood pressure?
Okay.
What does that mean for me?
Okay.
And then what do I need to do now that I have high blood pressure to make sure that I can be okay?
Okay. All right. So it's the steps in understanding every level of it. So if you know what high blood pressure is, it's good. But then now, how does it affect me? What are some of the symptoms? And then the importance of really sharing the information. That's the other thing, too. Sometimes we lie to the doctor.
Guilty.
Did you exercise?
Yeah.
Four times this week. You really went once.
How many drinks do you have per week? What time of year are we talking about?
Did you engage in any smoking of marijuana? You know, all of that stuff. So, but you're saying it's very important to be honest with your doctor about what's going on, so they can have a pattern of what may be happening.
And for your doctor to be honest with you. So if I don't understand what you're saying, I mm-hmm. need to tell you that so yeah. that you can restate that for me so that I can go out and do what I need to do. So a lot of times we shake our heads, right? The doctor's like, you have hypertension. And you're like, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
and then you walk out the door with really no clue what that means. And so it's about having that brokered conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Terrence, we also want to talk a little bit about mental health. Is that your area of expertise?
It is.
All right. So can we really have a discussion on what's going on? Because I feel like there's stuff that in my age group, the 40s, we're dealing with things. And then there's another age group that there's younger kids or younger people that just doesn't understand what they don't understand. We live their life, but they're living a different life. Yeah. They're living a different world. And there's this sort of barrier in between each other. So how do we sort of relate and help? Because everybody's mental health is different. No one right. could just say, hey, you know, I'm 45. You don't know the problems I have and you're 23. You know, I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm really interested in hearing what is mental health and what are the signs of it?
Right. So, you know, mental health is how do we respond to day-to-day stresses? Mm-hmm. So that each of us has a different capacity for that, like mm-hmm. you're saying. Mm-hmm. What is going to be hard for me may not be hard for you. So being able to just have those conversations without judgment, first and foremost, because I think there's a lot of stigma to saying I'm having a hard day. I'm feeling kind of sad mm-hmm. or I'm feeling, you know, kind of down today, that there's a stigma that is just like, we don't talk about that. Like you said, yeah. You don't know hardship, so just keep it moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so really trying with, especially with kids these days, trying to be more open and having those conversations. You know, the one thing that I think about is my daughter, mm-hmm. who is 11, just witnessed an incident at school yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so me, as a mental health professional, I'm paying attention to trauma. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this was a traumatic incident. I should be watching. How does she sleep at night? What's she talking about? Like, what's the story? Not only she's telling me, but what's the story she's telling herself? Mm-hmm. And trying to decipher those things and really keeping those lines of communication open so that, number one, she knows when she feels a thing, it's okay to talk about it. That when I hear incorrect information, that I could correct that mm-hmm. for her. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the actual story. Let's not go there. And then if there's more need for support, I know how to access that. So it's just having an awareness of what's going on around us, mm-hmm. that it's going to affect people differently, and that we keep the lines of communication open with one another so that when people need something, we're able to get them to where they need to be.
It's an unfair question in a sense of how do I do that without being Detective Spence?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to interrogate anyone, mm-hmm. but I do want somebody to feel as if they're comfortable enough to say, this is what I know. This is what happened the way it was. Sometimes people misremember things mm-hmm. or don't see it as it happened. Mm-hmm. So how do I do that without trying to be have the hot spotlight on them mm-hmm. and ask them, you know, questions? Where were you on the 5th? You know right. what I mean? That type of thing.
Well, the thing is, we have time, right? So you don't have to get all of the information the same day. Mm-hmm. You can always come back to the person. So just kind of start off listening. Mm-hmm. And then you take it and you kind of think about it like, that may not have sounded right. So let me just go back the next day and, how you doing today? See if the story has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So just you do it in small doses, so to speak. And then as you are kind of listening, you may not have the skill to be like, that's not right. Or mm-hmm. you need to, but you can be, just suggest, hey, mate, have you ever thought about talking to somebody? It could be a good idea to just kind of get the things off your chest. Because there's a certain level of normal, so yeah. to speak. We are all going to respond to things in a certain way. But then, you know, if it goes on too long, then it's kind of like, okay, maybe you need to talk to somebody.
All right, so if it lingers around
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah,
okay.
lingering, all right, it's not, a good word.
You know, some one of those things where it's not like, oh, I'm over it now. And
right.
You know what I mean? It's been, you know, 2 to 3 weeks now, four, yeah. and now it's turned into something that might be
yeah.
deeper than that.
Yeah.
Interesting. WDKX in the Wake Up Club. Check your health. Your WDKX brought to you by the University of Rochester. I want to make sure we put out there are resources available for people dealing with mental health services. What does 211 do? What would I get if I said, okay, I'm dealing with mental health and I need services? What would 211 provide?
So 211 is going to give you a menu of services throughout the county for mm-hmm. mental health and really any kind of health human service need, but mm-hmm. it's going to give you phone numbers for crisis line, for walk-in clinic different places that have walk-in services and places where you could connect with ongoing therapy services. So it's going to give you a menu throughout Monroe County for those.
And after somebody sees someone, Dr. Sanders, you said that there would be a way for them to sort of realize, okay, this is where we are, and then continue to navigate through maybe more services in the near future, or give them sort of a roadmap to work together with someone who might need services beyond that one particular treatment?
That's right. Okay. So to piggyback off what Dr. Terrence said, so if they meet with a therapist says, okay, you need to go home and schedule an appointment with this person. Mm-hmm. You probably should be taking maybe a medication or something like that.
Yeah.
And the health literacy would kick in for the patient to be like, okay, this is what my diagnosis is. This is what I need to do for my diagnosis, and this is what the provider is saying that I need to do. And if I don't understand, mm-hmm. then I need to check back and make sure that I'm doing the right thing so that I don't make my situation worse than okay. it was than when it actually started.
I want to make sure people are aware of the portal. Now, me personally, I've used it. It's quick to get those sort of appointments taken care of if someone doesn't really want to talk on the phone. It also provides you numbers if you do need a number to call mm-hmm. and you lost the number. You know how people write it down, like, I got it. And then next, it's, thrown away and you can't find it or you need it anymore. So the portal is really important mm-hmm. When it comes, because it's got your information there. It could also tell you, I forgot what an appointment is. Mm-hmm. When is that again? What time? What place? Where's the location? I thought it was over here. It's really over there. Mm-hmm. So I personally, this is not an endorsement of anything else. I personally use it and find it very useful.
I think it's useful too. So I have my kids are in one of our healthcare systems and I'm in the other healthcare mm-hmm. system.
Yep.
But the portal merges both. So when I pick up my app, regardless if they're in the RGH system or if they're are you in the U of R system, I can see both appointments and all things related to myself and my kids. And mm-hmm. so that really makes it a one-stop shop for parents and really easy to navigate. But it also, in order to use it, people have to understand why it's so important. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about like why the app not only is functionally a good thing to use, but from our health perspective, how it keeps us on track and up to date on our health and mental health needs?
Absolutely. So that takes us down this pathway of digital health literacy. Mm-hmm. So in order to use the app, mm-hmm. you have to understand what an app is, if you need an email address. And so all of those things kind of work together. And then with health literacy, we talk about access. So the portal has pretty much all of your health information in one spot. And so it's a powerful tool. It's a way to empower patients. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to train patients in the community on how to access their patient portal. And so we're working with community partners throughout Rochester. So Ibero, Villa of Hope, Action for a Better Community, SUNY Attain Center to try and get people registered.
Yeah. To know about it, one, two, the easier way to get in, how you can sort of connect everybody together, like you said, Dr. Nelms, how to really push everybody in the same sort of category. So, oh yeah, that's right. We have an appointment. I have an appointment this day. You know, mm-hmm. my kid has an appointment that day. My, spouse has an appointment this day. Mm-hmm. You know, it pushes it really all together going forward. I know the app is available through the Apple Store.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that. I'm not sure about Android. So I'd have to ask Android people.
Android is still, Android
sure?
too.
Yeah, you sure? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not just I know my world. I didn't cut you off. I just
Android,
wasn't sure.
Cricket, everything. We got it. Whatever you believe.
103.9 WTKX, Wake Up Club, Rochester's number one station for R&B, hip hop, and throwbacks. Great discussion this morning having to do with one, health literacy, knowing exactly what's going on with you, the plans that the U of R could put together for you to guide you in the right direction as far as service. Do you understand what's going on? I know if I wasn't married to a wife, Dr. Sanders, I would be lost. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'd be intimidated. I'd be lost. And I probably wouldn't go to the doctor. I'm not even lying to you. I probably wouldn't go unless something hurt, and I think that's really important. But to know that you could walk into a facility and have them tell you exactly what's going on and be able to explain it to you and what the next steps are is really important.
Yeah, so I think one of the things we encourage patients to do, which we sort of talked about, but to put it in something that people can remember, is Ask Me 3. So what is my health concern? what do I need to do and why is this important? So ask me three.
Ask
so next
me
time you go
three.
To the doctor, remember
okay.
that.
Ask me three.
Yes.
And what are the three again?
Mm-hmm. What is my health condition?
What is my health condition?
What do I need to do?
What do I need to do?
And why is it important for me to do that?
And why is it important? It's not that I want to live. I can either, I can figure that one out. I don't want to go back to the doctor yeah. on a consistent basis. The only way to do that is to stay consistent with the instructions mm-hmm. are. It's important to do that. I do want to ask you, Dr. Terrence, the importance of mental health and physical health. What is the sort of connection between the two? Because I think it'll take us down this road of the other end of dealing with mental health, the stigma yeah. of talking about it. So what about the physical movement that involves helping with mental health?
Yeah, I mean, talking about the two together, we have been schooled, whether you're in school or not, we have been taught that mental health is all in our head. Mm-hmm. But what we know about mental health now is that emotions land in the body, mm-hmm. right? So we know, because mm-hmm. I talked a little bit about trauma a couple minutes ago, mm-hmm. we know much more about trauma now, that it's chemical and hormonal releases in the body that are purposeful, right? So if we're in a dangerous situation, we don't want to have to think about what to do to get out of it. Yeah. We want those automatic responses to happen so we could keep ourselves safe. Mm-hmm. But what's happening in the body, those chemical releases, if they continue to happen over and over, like if you're in these dangerous situations and those keep happening, then it becomes health damaging. Heart disease, cancer, kidney disease, lots of chronic pain, lots of chronic illness happens when these chemical releases continue to happen in the body over and over. Mm-hmm. So that's trauma. But then in general, mental health, we know that when we feel well, mind and body, mm-hmm. we do more. And when we don't feel well, we do less.
Yeah.
And so unfortunately, that doing less adds up over time to, again, chronic pain, obesity, heart disease, lung disease. So to be able to keep ourselves mentally healthy is going to help us be more active. So then we take care of ourselves a little bit more.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, Dr. Sanders, when it comes to sort of understand, I guess both of you, because it goes in the same direction. One, the resources are available. The help is there. And then the importance of understanding what steps we need to take. So you were talking a bit about the portal. The portal will be able to help people sort of guide them through. I know you're doing a couple sessions to help people learn about the app and go through the portal. But can you talk a little bit about just getting into the system? Just understanding that, one, I have a pediatrician for my kid. How you can connect that all together. Keeping it all straight, because I think this is one of those discussions, because we'll get to the family end of this in a minute, because there is some bravery just walking through the door mm-hmm. and saying we need help.
Mm-hmm. So you mean as it relates to the portal or just the health system?
Both. Yeah.
Good question. So as it relates to the portal, it's a way the portal sort of compartmentalizes all of your health information.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will list like who's your primary care doctor.
Okay.
Who's if you're seeing a psychiatrist, who's your psychiatrist, who was the last social worker you saw? When was the last time you were in the ED? Sometimes you need to make an appointment really quick. You can do that in like 30 seconds rather than like stay on the phone for 30 minutes mm-hmm. waiting for somebody to pick up the phone. And so that saves time, right? So for some of us, you're at work. You don't have 30 minutes to stay on the phone to try and schedule an appointment. So the portal can be helpful that way. I use my mom as an example. We were at the pharmacy and she had the medications at two different pharmacies mm-hmm. and she had thought she had it at one. I looked in the portal and I'm like, no, this is actually at the other pharmacy. And mm-hmm. so things that we non-traditionally think that the portal could be helpful for, it actually is helpful for. And navigating the healthcare system, there's also organizational literacy. So the way we set up the healthcare system for patients. So we do things like put up arrows, we color code things, but mm-hmm. we don't think about what about people who are colorblind?
Yeah.
What are we doing mm-hmm. in the healthcare system to help them navigate? And so there's the idea of organizational health literacy too that I think we need to think and talk more about.
Yeah. It's a very big discussion.
It's interesting. As you talk about this literacy piece and becoming smarter about the work and more informed about the work, I know that you work with a lot of disparities, meaning that, you know, how are some communities, particularly communities of color, having higher rates of X, Y, and Z. And we know that we often want to say, well, it's just genetics. And sometimes, you know, there's some correlation to that. But I have the belief that it's because we have not been as knowledgeable about how to advocate for ourselves mm-hmm. in different settings. And so if that theory is true, then these type of apps and this type of community outreach becomes critically important. Mm-hmm. So you said earlier that you work with a bunch of different agencies in the community around that. Can you just repeat who those agencies are so that if people are willing to learn more from people that they already have a trusted relationship with, yes. then they can reach out to those folks as well?
Thanks. So I'll name those, but I'd also like to point out that the social determinants of health work hand in hand with health literacy, mm-hmm. right? So you can't use the patient portal if, for instance, you don't have access to the internet,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? And that's a cost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so part of what we're doing with a grant that's supported from the Health Equity Program Support Office is making people aware in the community of resources that exist. For example, the Affordable Connectivity Program, which offers people $30 off their internet if they qualify for certain social programs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like mm-hmm. making people more aware that it's not the right, being black doesn't make me less likely to use the portal, mm-hmm. but redlining and right. where I live at may make
digital
me,
divide.
Yes, yeah. the digital yeah. divide yep. May make that harder for me. So mm-hmm. to get back to your point, we're working with Ibero, the Villa of Hope, Action for a Better Community, Urban Innovations, SUNY Attain, and Nazareth College. They've partnered with the St. John Senior Living Center. So there's that intergenerational learning about the patient portal. So thinking about the idea of kids. So kids have access to a portal. My daughter actually has access to hers, and I don't. Right. And so when I have a question about her healthcare, I'm like, can you log in and tell me?
That's right.
I need to know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But I feel like I'm training her to be more empowered than I was at her age. Yeah. So shout out to the Health Equity Program Support Office at the University of Rochester.
And so if you heard any of those programs and you're familiar with them, ask them about it. I think there is this sort of comfort in bringing yes. along a friend or a program or somebody that we might feel more comfortable with introducing the idea of having these discussions going forward. Now, the toughest conversation there is, Dr. Terrence, and it is, how do we get to a point where we're talking about things that are so deep-rooted, so traumatic, we didn't bring it up to our mom, our dad, our best friend. It's a trust factor. When we have these discussions, Dr. Nelms knows, mm-hmm. this is uncomfortable because yeah. this is a trust factor and people have been let down before.
Absolutely.
And they're kind of like, I don't want to fall for, mm-hmm. you know, the rabbit hole again.
Right.
Can we talk a little bit about that? Because that's the toughest mental hurdle, talking about things that we've often been told in the black community not to talk about.
So, I mean, to break down the stigma, first and foremost, conversations like this. So mm-hmm. to your point, Dr. Nelms, like being in the community. So it's important that I'm born and raised in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And so I have a vested interest in seeing my people thrive. Mm-hmm. Okay. But also it's important to me that no matter how much work I have to do at the university, I stay in front of people, mm-hmm. that I work. I still do clinical work, even though I don't have to do mm-hmm. clinical work, because I want to help my people mm-hmm. and I want them to see, as a therapist, I see myself in them. And they see themselves in me, mm-hmm. because I primarily work with black women when I am a therapist. I started my career working with child adolescent family. As I get older and my own kids, mm-hmm. it gets a little bit harder to work with kids. So I kind of stay in the adult lane and yeah. consult on the kid side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really the representation. So seeing therapists of color. What's the therapist's approach? Is the therapist going to be like this objective person sitting in the chair, wanting to know all about you, but not necessarily giving you any indication into who they are as a person? Mm-hmm. So when I sit with people, I'm saying, ask me a question. If you have any questions about who I am, feel free to ask. If I feel like it's a question that I can't answer or that's a little bit too much, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that. So that's modeling boundaries, mm-hmm. is creating relationship, because all of this is on the basis of relationship. You were saying that earlier. Yep. And Adrienne Marie Brown, who wrote Emergent Strategy, she said we could only move at the speed of trust.
That's right.
And so I don't try to push it past that. Even as a therapist, first session, you don't have to tell me everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you to know how it's affecting you to even be telling this story. So let's take our time. Mm-hmm. Let's build a relationship. And then we could get into some of that hard stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the stigma is because we have a history of marginalization and oppression, right? We didn't have time. When we think about times of enslavement, there was no time for emotion. Emotion could get you killed.
That's right.
So we had to push that aside and we had to work. And that was adaptive. That kept us alive back then. But now it is not adaptive. We still got stuff. We still trying to fight for justice and fight for freedom for sure. But there is a time and a place, because keeping those emotions in is going to make us sick. It makes us sick.
Mm.
So, yeah. You know, you mentioned, I'm not going to the doctor until something hurts,
yep.
Right?
That's us.
The reality is, you know, when you look at mental health data, people of color are not more mentally ill than white people. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not more mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
But the burden of mental illness falls heavier on us because we wait. We wait. We wait. We wait. Before we ask for help, and we have to speak out sooner.
I love that adaptive. That's going to sit with me for a couple of days. I see Pastor T over there. That's going to be one of his sermons coming up. Yeah. I think
That's the applause in the background.
That's right.
Because the Corey eye, he's clapping, but you can't hear it.
I see it.
I'm like, he's hitting on a lot of good tunes.
But yeah, but I think that adaptive piece, I never thought about it like that. Like we were forced to adapt.
Yeah.
But now we have to force ourselves to adapt to a more liberated.
Yep.
Construct as well, and that's hard right. to accept right. some of that mental and physical freedom and know how to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I'm gonna use that.
Yeah, yeah, right,
I'll
right, right.
I'm gonna
say, make sure you go.
It's a good thing we record this thing.
Cause
if you missed any segment of it or any of the previous Check Your Health segments, brought to you by the University of Rochester, go to WDKicks at WDKicks.com. I was just talking to a doctor yesterday. I told him all about it and talked about the real discussions. And we had a really good discussion right after that on what's going on and the work committed. Listen, the help is available. And I just want to make sure people know that the help is available. And then I've done my job and to have these discussions and, you know, to reveal what Sean and I have revealed and Sight and everybody else who's been in this building for these segments. It's real. We're not making this up. This is not a skit. Mm-hmm. I joke around all the time, but this is the real deal, you know. And so to your point, I want to see us help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we do that is to bring you guys in here so we can have this discussion and get real for 2024. Let's get real with it. The way we used to do it may not be working anymore. there's a new way now. And let's start trusting one another and getting into these discussions and get ready for the next level of our lives.
We also need to heal together, too. And I think being there supportive for one another is important. And in the spirit of that, I just want to send our thoughts and prayers out to the family of Kenny Jackson, a Rochester icon. Many folks knew him from the basketball field courts and coaching kids in the community. But I knew him as a parent. Mm-hmm. He was an advocate for his children at East High School. And if you saw the rise of East this year, it was on the backs of our star quarterback, Zymir Jackson, who was his son. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he had a special place in this community, a very special place at East. And in the spirit of mental and physical health, let's make sure that we're supportive of his family and his children, not just today and tomorrow, not when the funeral happens, but all the time after, and being okay to grieve. It's okay to grieve. It's also important for us to healthy to move forward so that his wife and his children stay covered.
We are 103.9 WDKX Podcast Network. It's time for the second half of Check Your Health with Dr. Sean Nelms taking over.
All right, welcome back to the second half of the Check Your Health segment with Drs. Michelle Sanders and Dr. Tracy Terrence. Both are assistant professors in the Department of Family Medicine. both Rochester born and raised, and now doing incredible work in this community. There were a couple questions that came in from the front lines during the show, and I want to just revisit those, if at all possible. The first question we had was, you know, if you are trying to improve your digital literacy and you want to access MyChart or get help in understanding how to navigate it, are there resources available for the MyChart system?
Sure. So we mentioned a few community resources during the first segment, but everyone may not be able to attend those community trainings. So you can call the University of Rochester. They have a MyChart customer service center. It's open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Every day. The phone number is 585-275-8762.
Nice, nice, nice. Thank you so much for that. Second conversation we started off the air and didn't get to it on the air was about the importance of primary care. Like, and for those who have children or are guardians supportive of our youth, why is primary care so important in teaching our children about the importance of health? Dr. Terrence.
Yeah, so primary care, when it comes to mental health especially, I look at as the gateway for mental health. So a lot of primary care doctors, I'll venture to say most primary care doctors, have some formal training in treating or managing mental health diagnoses. So they're open to doing some, starting the work. They're also there to give referrals if the person needs more ongoing or intense therapy, mental health services. They can give those referrals. So primary care is always a good place to start. Again, thinking about the connection between mental health and physical health, they kind of know lots of things about people, and so they could be really helpful in just getting people started with care. So if people don't have a primary care doctor, one of the things you could do is reach out to University of Rochester to find a primary care physician that is accepting new patients. And the number to call for that is 585-784-8891, and that will get you connected to a primary care doctor that can take you on as a patient if you don't already have one. And if you do already have one, please schedule an appointment with them.
So that number again is 585-784-8891. I think that's so important because I know that some families like to rely on the emergency department or for urgent care. And that is not a primary physician. Those individuals won't know your history. They won't know your family's history. They won't understand, you know, what services or practices are best for you and your current status. So getting a primary, which means it's your doctor that you go to regularly, or the practice of doctors that you go to regularly, it's really important to have one. So again, 585-784-8891. Find a doctor who is accepting new patients. Now, the last question that we had, I was trying to write this down, and you said it too fast. What were those those critical questions you should ask your doctor? Like, what is that rhyme that you gave us, Michelle?
That is the Ask Me Three. So the first question is, what is my health problem? What do I need to do about my health problem? And why is it important for me to do this?
All right. So say that again for me. So I'm writing this down.
So what is my health problem?
What?
What do I need to do for my health problem? All right. And why is it important for me to do this?
What, do, and why? I got that.
What, do, and why?
What, do, and why? All right. So in the spirit of what, do, and why, please write that down. Think about that. Commit it to memory. It's really important that we go into our appointments with some information and some knowledge so you can be the best advocate for yourself and for your family. Thank you for listening to another segment of Check Your Health. We will see you next week. Stay healthy, stay positive, stay blessed. Peace.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on the WDKX Podcast Network.
Provided by Vision Automotive.